You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Don't ever let anyone try and tell you that older people have nothing to contribute. They do. And if you happen to be an older person, I want to talk today about an important contribution you can make. You can teach us about time. The Bible says in James chapter 5, "Be patient, fellow Christians, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer patiently awaits the precious crop of the earth, waiting on it patiently, until it should receive the early and the late rains. You too, be patient and establish your hearts, because the coming of the Lord is at hand." You who are older can remind younger people to be patient. After all, older people are, or should be, experts in time. You've been in it for quite a while. Perhaps you have attained the biblical 70 years. Perhaps some of you are 80 or more. Or, if you haven't reached 70 or 80 yet, you've still been around for a while, and your graying, thinning hair and your slowing body qualifies you as an expert in time. My goal today is to encourage you to talk. Talk often, talk much, about what the passage of time means. Because from your perspective, you know much better than younger people all about the passage of time. But I also have a second goal today. That second goal is directed to younger people. Younger people need to listen. You who have not yet attained gray hairs, or have a long way before you reach 70 years, you need to listen to those who are more experienced in the passage of time. We can't afford a generation gap here. Young and old, we're in time together. We want to use it wisely. And that will mean using time as God in the Bible says it should be used. We are living in a now generation. The initials that characterize so much of our generation are ASAP. Some of you know what ASAP means, as soon as possible. If you work in an office, you receive memos, and those memos often say ASAP. I need this as soon as possible. Sometimes you wonder if they really need it that quickly, but that's what they say, ASAP, as soon as possible. We need it, and we need it now. We have cars in this ASAP generation that go from 0 to 60, and as if that weren't enough, we're told that they go from 0 to 60 in X number of seconds. It's a now generation. Maybe some of you have call waiting on your telephone. It still amazes me how the telephone permits us to talk to almost anyone, almost any place in the world. But that's no longer enough. If they happen to be busy, call waiting permits you to talk to that person you want ASAP. Steroids. How do you explain the use of drugs by athletes to build up their bodies? Part of the explanation is that athletes want bigger bodies now. They don't want to wait through long training periods. They want bigger bodies ASAP. I heard of a veteran chemistry teacher in Iowa. When he started teaching, his students would perform an experiment on Monday and get the results a few days later. The teacher said that's impossible these days. Chemistry students do the experiment and they want the results right away ASAP. Does this now mentality help to explain why the level of savings in the United States is one of the lowest in the industrialized world? And why we have become the largest debtor nation in the entire globe? I'm sure that's part of it. We want things, and we want them now. Patience is not a mark of our society. I've even heard people make a joke about patience. Lord, they say, please give me patience and give it to me now. I don't think this is a joking matter. For your patience, or your lack of patience, reflects how you think about God, your Creator, and what you think about yourself as a creature whom God has made and placed in the world of time. Your days on earth are not unlimited, and neither are mine. We shall all appear before God our Creator. St. James makes a connection between patience and the knowledge that you shall appear before God. Be patient, he says. The judge is standing at the door. The judge is standing at the door. In the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who will judge you and me, says, I am coming soon. Jesus, the judge, says, I'm coming, ASAP. If there is anything in this world that is urgent and that needs to be taken care of right now, it is your relationship to God. How things stand between you and your judge needs to be resolved, ASAP. For when the judge does come for you, and remember, he said that he is going to be coming soon. When the judge comes for you, you need to be already in his good graces. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Of all the things that occupy this now generation, fast cars, fast communication, fast food, fast diets or bodybuilding, of all the things, that which most demands attention, ASAP, is your relation to the Creator, who is going to judge you. When that judgment is over, you will either be in heaven forever. And that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Or, and this is a terrible prospect, you will be in hell forever. Heaven or hell? The existence of hell is clearly taught in the Bible. It is a place of torment. The parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus in Luke chapter 16 speaks of hell as a place of suffering and torment, and from it there is no escape. This is a terrible prospect. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, stop being afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. These Bible passages contradict what many people today think. While many people believe in eternity, most think their lives have been good enough to guarantee them a place in heaven. The June issue of a magazine called U.S. Catholic cited a Gallup poll that revealed that 71% of people surveyed believed in a heaven where good lives are eternally rewarded. A 1988 Gallup poll found that 77% of those Americans polled believed in heaven. Of those believers, 3 out of 4 rated their own chances of getting to heaven as good or excellent. Conversely, only 58% of the respondents believed in hell, and only 6% thought that they had a good or excellent chance of going there. The Bible teaches that there is a hell. It is where the holy God punishes unholy sinners. All the good works you've done in your life, all your kindly deeds, all your pleasant, compassionate thoughts are not enough to earn you a place in heaven. And that can be supported with the Bible. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 says, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point, that person is guilty of breaking all of it. One sin makes you guilty of breaking all God's commandments. Now, I know myself. I know some of my sins. I am not only one of the 58% who believe in hell, but I think I deserve to go there. The same is true for you. As we Lutherans confess in our public worship, O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment now and forever. That's what I confess. And I'll readily admit that the idea of going to hell terrifies me. But I also want to say, and this is so important, I know I'm not going there. I'm going to heaven. And I don't want to go to heaven alone. I want to be there with you and with as many people as possible. We'll go to heaven, you and I and others, not because of what we have done. We are sinners. When the judge comes, you and I will go to heaven because the judge is also our Savior. Jesus Christ, who will come to judge the living and the dead, is the same Jesus Christ who came into this world to pay for my sins and yours. We deserve hell, but Christ suffered it when he hung on Calvary's cross. We deserve to have God withdraw his kindness from us. But instead, Christ on the cross was abandoned by God so that you and I can be in God's loving fellowship now and throughout an eternity in heaven. When God says in Romans that the wages paid by sin is death, it would be all over and done with for you and me. But the final word in that passage is this: the wages paid by sin is death, but the gift given freely by God in Christ Jesus our Lord is everlasting life. If I could physically reach out of the radio right now and direct you to one thing, only one thing, it would not be the terrors of hell, as real as they are, but I'd direct you to the promise of eternal life in heaven because of Jesus Christ your Savior. He's our judge. He's coming soon, he says, ASAP. When you look to this judge as your loving Savior, your only hope for this life and the life to come, then you can number yourself among those who expect to go to heaven. But unlike some who mistakenly expect to go to heaven because they have led such good lives, you can expect to go to heaven for the right reason, and that is your Savior, Jesus Christ. So, we live in an ASAP world, which isn't all bad. If you have a medical emergency, you can call 911 and help should be right there. If you have investments, you can turn to the right channel on television or pick up your telephone and know exactly what your investment is doing. If there is a national emergency, we can be alerted quickly by radio or television to what's going on. ASAP is not all bad. But you and I, who know that the Savior is coming soon, we really aren't full-fledged members of the now generation. We're living here and now, but we're citizens of that eternal heavenly kingdom. We Christians have an eternal perspective as we live each day. We've got the joys of heaven awaiting us, even as we struggle with the problems and demands of our here and now ASAP lives. Ecclesiastes says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." We Christians can be patient people. We don't have to have it all, and we don't have to have it all now. We are not full-fledged members of our ASAP society. Knowing that Jesus is coming soon to take us to heaven influences how we think about the more mundane things of life. Be patient, my fellow Christians. Be patient. St. James gives us examples of patience. The patience that we heaven-bound Christians need to take to heart as we live in this fast-paced society. His first example is the farmer. You know how it is on the farm. Come spring, the farmer goes out and sows the seed. Then he cultivates the young plants. It's only after many months that the combine comes out and the crop is harvested. You just can't make it any faster than that. I have never seen a farmer who sowed the seed on one day and was out with the combine the next day. You can't do it, ASAP. You and I, who are saved eternally by Christ, we are not yet in heaven. We are not yet gathered into our eternal harvest home. We can't have all good things now. Now, we need to look to the future and cultivate patience for the present. The second example of patience that James gives are the prophets.
the prophets in the Old and the New Testament, the preachers and evangelists today, will sow the seed of God's word. They preach the law of sin and the threats of hell. They preach the gospel of love in Jesus Christ. And what happens? Does the whole world come to Jesus right away? It doesn't happen that way. The growth of God's kingdom is slow and imperceptible. But you and I will share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Rather than be caught up in having the good things of the world here and now, Christians patiently share the story of the eternal blessings offered in the Savior. We don't want to go into heaven alone, do we? We want friends and family, redeemed by Christ and confessing Him as Savior, to be with us in eternal joy. So we patiently sow the seed of God's Word, and we pray for a joyous eternal harvest. When I started today's message, I said that older people have something to contribute. James' example of the prophets who spoke the Word brings me to what you who are older can contribute. Because you have lived long, you know about the passage of time. You may have call waiting on your phone, but you can remember when you got that first telephone. You may have a car that can accelerate quickly, but you also remember the horse and the buggy and the Model T. You may use drugs to help your arthritis or heart, and you do so remembering how far medicine has come in your lifetime. You are experts in time, and you also have time. You have more time on your hands than many younger people. This is time for you to reflect upon the judge who soon will come for you. That time that you older people spend contemplating the end is not to be morbid. Oh, please, don't let thoughts of your death be morbid. Remember, your judge is your Savior. Whatever your past life has been, the only thing that matters is now to lay your sins at Jesus' feet and to know that He forgives you. He says, "The person who comes to me, I will never turn away." The only thing in your advanced years that is ASAP is trusting Jesus now. And that is really the only thing that is ASAP for any of us. Whether you're 16 or 60, 43 like I am, or 83, the only thing that is ASAP is to know Jesus. That's where you who are older can contribute so much. I can think of no group of Christians as well equipped to say that story of salvation over and over and over again than you who are older Christians. You've seen the years of earthly life come and go. It won't be long before you're in the eternal joys of heaven. Before you depart, remind us to be patient because our judge is coming. Please, tell us again and again and again about Jesus. Amen.